Let's go.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Bingetown TV. We have a very, very special episode for you today. But before we get into all of the actual business, some housekeeping business for the podcast as a whole. Obviously, we're at Bingetown TV. The best way to support us, if this is either, I guess, your first time or not your first time, if you're a returning customer, thank you, returning listener. Follow us on all our socials. I'm pretty sure everything is at Bingetown TV. A really easy way to see our whole collection of episodes, which at this point, I mean, we're pushing 350, 360. Yep. We'll probably be at 400 before we know it. BingetownTV.com. That kind of has everything there. If you want to like this on, I guess, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe on YouTube, subscribe on whatever podcast listening app you are listening on. That way you'll get access and notifications, basically, about all our episodes. We just wrapped, The Last of Us, which was incredible. We're currently working on The Mandalorian. Shadow and Bone just dropped, so we'll be recording episodes on that. Yellow Jackets is upcoming, obviously, and Succession as well. So today will be, I guess, a little bit of like a, I guess, a season four hype video, hype session, hype discussion. We'll talk about seasons one through three, what our favorite characters, favorite moments, who we're really looking forward to in season four, maybe predictions about the ending, just things of all of that sort. Maybe bounce to one of you two, just because I'm talking a lot, of just like an overall, how you got into the show, have you been following since the beginning, yada, yada, yada.
So Alex sitting next to me, if you listen to our Wilds coverage or our True Blood coverage, Pitchtown, she's back. So welcome, Al. Welcome, she got me into the show. I've told this on Bingetown a few times, whether it was like our Emmy episode or whatever, but I'll say it quickly one more time. I got into the show in a psychotic way. In my previous podcast, I had never seen the show before, but the night before, someone had picked to cover the season two finale. And at that point, only the season two finale, there's only two seasons. Normally, you know, I would take off work and binge 20 episodes, but there was just not enough hours in the day. So I watched the pilot and I watched the finale of season two, which is, of course, incredible, like bomb drop episode. And then once I started dating Alex, she was obsessed, and season three was rocking, and we were already watching Insecure on HBO on Sundays. And I was like, I'll just watch it with you. Who cares? So I had seen the pilot, the season two finale, and then season three. Now, I think for Succession, one of the best shows of all time. And I think that I was watching seasons one and two as if they were old friends of mine. Like, I had That's already funny. Seen three, and people say season one is slow. So to me, it wasn't slow at all, because it just felt like a continuation of what I already know. And I already loved the characters. So it was really a fucking weird ass way for me to have watched the show, but no regrets. I mean, I'm like just as obsessed. So we just finished binging the whole three seasons together.
Again, like, obviously.
In February. Yeah, we did all three in February. So I'm going to hand it to Al.
Thank you. Happy to be back. Happy to be here.
That's very nice to have you.
Yeah, I think I got into it probably in 2019. So I guess that was around season two, in the midst of season two. I just, you know, I love HBO. I'm an HBO ho, as I've said on here previously, with my True Blood pitch down. And they just have great content. But this came out at a really, and I started watching it at an interesting time in my actual job and company, where we had like been acquired for some years. And there was some stuff going on that felt like, what's happening? And I was like, oh my God, like Charlie Kelly with the freaking like conspiracy board. And it did end up that our founder like ended up leaving. And, you know, we had a bit of a shift in the company. But I was like, I understand this so much better now. I was like, oh my God, this is real life. So it was just a funny timing thing. But yeah, I love the show and I've rewatched it multiple times. And yeah, cannot wait. Cannot wait for this next season, final season.
That's really funny. Yeah, I'm very new to the game, so I just binged all three seasons in like 2 weeks. So I think I just watched the season three finale maybe like 6 days ago, if that. And it was funny, I just like, it has been a weird rut of I hadn't had a TV show to watch, and for some reason I crushed Ted Lasso in like 2 days. And then this was the next, which talk about a complete swing in tone. Like, everyone in Ted Lasso is, you know, so kind. And it's like the whole, like the whole story is about, I mean, essentially like going to therapy, addressing your own issues, while everyone in the show does absolutely none of that. So it was quite the tone shift, but I just fell in love. I would agree, Kathleen, with, I guess, the general consensus of people who say it started slow. I mean, it's tough. I feel like most TV shows with this many characters too start slow, just because there's so many people and it's so hard to get a read and kind of, you know, shift either way of who you're supporting and who you're not. But then middle of season one, that Family Therapy was the episode that was like, okay, fuck, like I love this TV show now. So I'm really, really excited for season four.
The season finales and the ends of the seasons really flourish. And they also got kind of goofier with it. Like, think about the wedding at the end of season one, absolutely lavish. The boat that they're on in the season two finale, the yacht. Yeah. It's not a boat. It's a yacht. It's a house on the water.
Yeah,
and then season three with the moms, with Caroline's. Caroline?
Wedding.
She's, either she's way, British, so. It's like, you're watching this thing and you're just, I've never felt less relatable to a show. Oh, yeah. Like, I don't understand. And it's funny because Alex had said, wow, my company, like, I could understand it, but I don't know what the fuck is going on in this show. And it cracks me up. Like, I'm so in it and I'm so anxious. And never has a show had all of its quote unquote protagonists just be fully awful people. Like, not one, barely a redeemable character in the show.
Barely and a redeemable just, quality in the show.
And it actually does a good job of making you forget who you're rooting for. And when they're talking about the presidents and things like that, you're like, oh my God, these are the worst people of the world. Yeah. These are the people that run the world into the ground. But we're rooting for them because they're the Roys and we love them. It's psychotic. It's really psychotic.
It's funny too. I finished season three and especially after watching White Lotus was the show that planted this idea in my head. And I think it kind of hammered home with Succession. And I was like, do I like kind of like reality television? Because I feel like this is like really dramatized, scripted reality television is kind of what it feels like.
Yeah. It's also interesting how Succession is shot, right? They almost have like a mockumentary or documentary style, like the way they follow people. Somebody on TikTok or something pointed out Shiv breaking the fourth wall. Yeah. And I was like, well, I don't know about that, but yeah, it reminds you of that. And for like an HBO dramedy or whatever you want to call it, that's a very unique like camera style and just way of editing and producing. So yeah, it does feel reality TV adjacent for sure.
And I think also the way that they talk, just the dialogue feels very realistic. I feel, especially when I watch Kendall and Greg, I think for the most part is the way that they use filler words like we would, like as I'm sure we will throughout this podcast of like, like the way that they talk, it feels so realistic, but it also at the same time, it's kind of like, just say it. Like when Kendall is like in front of a camera and he can't actually find the words to say, I'm like, dude, oh my God, just say a word. So I think that part as well, it feels like really real.
So a couple things we'll hit before we dive into season four is cringiest moments, of course. Since we didn't have any coverage 1 through 3, we think we need to do our due diligence and walk through some of this shit. So cringiest moments, favorite moments, top three character rankings, and then like a quote or two we'll throw out there. But we can start with cringiest if we want, because I have a few. I always cheat and come up with 80 when we're only supposed to come up with one. So if you guys want to go first and so I don't take yours, that'll be good. Go ahead, Kai, if you have one off the top.
I feel like the first one I can think of is just Kendall rapping at the 50th fucking anniversary celebration. Like he got up there and I just was like, I think I said out loud, oh my God, he is really about to do this right now. So that's Kendall is full of them.
In my favorite moments, actually. But that is the show, right? It's just you were like, this fucking idiot. Like what now?
So Kendall is such an interesting character because he is kind of the most, well, him and Shiv both are smart, competent people. Kendall doesn't know what to do with himself. He's literally just like, just drives himself into the worst possible situations ever. But I had Kendall's rap in my favorite moments as well, because to me, maybe for the crowd, it was cringy, but I was like, if someone got up and rapped about me, I'd be like, that's the best gift you could have ever given me.
That's
but
fair.
Juxtaposing that to season three at his birthday party when he wants to sing a song and be put up on a cross, that is like, how did we get here? What
Dude,
the fuck?
He's just wild guy.
He really is wild guy. Do you have another cringy or is that yours?
I mean, I probably have more, but I'll do that one for now, and then I'm sure when you two are talking, I'll come up with an honorable mention or two.
I mean, there's so many, obviously. It's like whenever Roman speaks, that's just a blanket statement.
Very fair.
It's a horrific car crash that we're watching slowly. But I thought about a lot about Shiv and Tom. But I was like, okay, where does it really begin to get horrible for him? And their wedding night, their fucking wedding night. Oh, and she's like, oh my God, hey, open relationship. And he's like, what is happening? And I'm like, that's his villain origin story, to be sure. And it just really shows you how broken and horrible Shiv is. And you just always are like, I can't believe she's doing this to him, right? Or doing this as a person to another human being that she loves. It's crazy.
Yeah. And I just want to preface this by saying me and Alex are Shiv apologists in this house.
Yes,
we are Shiv Roy apologists, and I will not be taking any questions. But I will say, when Tom in the season 2 finale, they're on the beach by themselves, and he says that, I'm going to butcher the line, but he says something like, I'm wondering if the sad I will be without you is going to be better than the sad I am with you. And I'm like, my boy, my boy.
Yeah, seriously. That was great. And I just I guess to bounce off of that kind of general like time frame, just a classic Tom quote before that is just because they're actually trying to do the open relationship together with the the maid or whatever that's on the yacht. And he's like, I haven't done a stadium crowd before. Like he is the character that I have just gone so like back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. But he's just when he's good and he hits, he is just the star of the TV show. It's so funny. I love that fucking guy.
I can think of like 5 cringy Tom moments off the top of my head. The water bottles, the fucking tickle fight with Greg.
There's a lot with him and Greg.
I know. So my cringy moment is Boar on the floor.
That's a good one.
It is the worst thing ever. Logan is so fucked up. I don't like him as a character. Like, there's definitely moments where I'm like, man, this guy's badass and he is just the goat. But he doesn't know how to help himself. And this all could have just ended when he was supposed to hand it over to Kendall in episode 1, he handed it over to Kendall. Like, he's peeing all over the floors and like doing all this crazy stuff. And no one has the balls to stick up for him or stick up against him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, tale as old as time. We're talking about Succession. We don't really need to dig into how no one like fucking everyone's sucking Logan's, you know. But another one is Roman being mean at his birthday party. Kendall's birthday party. And also when they're trying to get in the back room to talk to Alexander Skarsgård's character, and he's just kind of like with the guy, like, no, come on, let me in. I'm like, oh, just stop. Why you guys actually act like children? But these people were not raised right or at all.
No, not at all.
So that's why you root for them, because you're like, this is nature versus nurture at its finest. Like, these people had everything, like money wise, anything, but they had zero love. And like, the mom's almost worse than Logan.
I was just going to bring that up. I actually love that that's part of the show, is how bad their mom is too. Obviously, Logan is like the main character kind of, and is the focus, and they really hammer home how bad and neglectful of a father he is. But I love that we get those reminders that the mom also had a role to play in that, because she is crazy too. Her and Shiv's relationship is wild.
It's so bad. I mean, you kind of see how Logan and Carolyn could have ended up together at one point, right? They like are sort of cut from the same cloth. Or did Logan like push her to be such a horrific person through that relationship? She sort of hints at that, but she's like a gaslighting master. So who's to say what the truth is when it comes to that? But yeah, the end of season 3, if it wasn't apparent before that your parents don't love you and you have mommy and daddy issues, I think it's pretty clear now of them. I mean, next level truth.
And honestly, even in us just talking about that, I thought of like 3 more cringy moments, like Shiv's speech at the wedding reception. For me, it was just like, none of those jokes landed. Like, it was so obvious that she was not really joking when she was saying what she was saying. And then when she references like her and Tom's loving, you know, amazing marriage,
everyone had,
I guess, us as viewers, we were like, oh my God, you know, Roman was like rolling his eyes. Another one is just like Connor doing anything, really. It's just like very cringeworthy. Yep. His whole presidential run is just like hilariously, it kind of oscillates between hilarious and just like terribly cringeworthy. And then the classic is just Roman sending a dick pic to his dad. It's just like absolutely fucking insane. Like, I can't imagine the
emotions. A business meeting to another employee that was like Troy's age.
And the whole meeting gets blown up because of it, basically. Like, Logan goes in the other room, like all the other bankers are there, and then Roman has to like go to fucking time out with his dad to get like a little talking to. And And I just like walking down that hallway would be thinking like, what the fuck? Like, where did I go wrong in my life that I now have to have a conversation with my dad about accidentally sending him a dick pic? Yeah.
People just do this. It's just, it's not a big deal. He's like saying, it's, he's saying it's like the new like greeting and currency. I'm like, you're maybe probably for you, you freak.
Oh my God.
He's like, what are you?
Logan handles that well though.
Are you a sicko? Are you a sicko? It's like, if you have to ask, yeah, your son's a fucking sicko. He's
so good. And I guess they start season three too with like, they're getting investigated for the sexual assault and stuff. And fucking Logan, like Roman's like, hey dad, like I'll ride with you. And he's like, you want to suck my dick too? And Roman's like, he said to his son as the sexual assault allegations poured in.
I would be remiss. Okay, two things. The second thing is what I would be remiss about not mentioning. So funny thing about the way I watch the show, having only really have seen season three, when he sent the dick pic, I was asking Alex for the background of Jerry and Roman, and I could have never understood. I was like, well, did they fuck? And you were like, no. And I was like, but they're hooking up. You're like, no. But I was like, but they're romantically involved. It's like, kind of, but not actually. And so I was like, what the fuck? So I was happy to have watched. But Roman sexuality is something that like, yeah, like, first of all, Shiv needs to stop joking about it to him. Like, Shiv is just like, I mean, it's some of the best jabs of the series. And yeah, it's nice Anna. To
she
get one in on Roman because he thinks he's like the king of the jab, but like she's really good too. She's really sharp. But Roman is like severely, severely fucked up. Like besides being having like obvious mommy issues, which Shiv says, like you want to fuck our mommy all the time. But it's like he was fucking his one girl wanting her to be dead, wanting her to role play dead. I don't understand how this isn't a bigger conversation and like at least a background or we just
wild.
Like rocking with him just being an absolute freakazoid.
I'm anti-Roman as a character, personally. I don't know. I feel like that's an unpopular opinion. People I've talked to out in the wild in real life seem to really like Roman. For me, he does not do it for me at all.
I think Kieran does an amazing job with the character, yes. But yeah, I mean, he's the biggest piece of shit of them all. I mean, I think they're all, that's the whole thing of the show is like, casting light on them in different ways and show like, I mean, Shiv is at her most horrible when she's with Tom, the person she loves. Like, you're supposed to be the most vulnerable and like nice to it. So you just like, yeah, they kind of like leapfrog each other for worst fucking one in the family, obviously. But Roman, I think, just carries that torch forever. I don't think he can be touched. It's
yeah, he's done
it's
too
all
much.
Bad. It's all bad. I don't think
he's,
he does anything.
He's
redeeming.
Done too much. He's said too much. It's just I can't imagine. I mean, although season three kind of maybe he turned a little bit of a corner in the finale. Who can say? Will they ever learn? It doesn't seem like they ever learn any lessons about anything that happens to them. So.
Yeah, that feels like the theme for all of them, starting with their father and why the show, even as a plot, right? He just reneged on everything and could have been smooth sailing. I mean, I think if he really passed it to Kendall in season one, Kendall would find a way to fuck it immediately. But you know what I mean? It's like Logan's made his own mess out of greed and like wanting to cling to relevancy and it's the whole plot, really. But
they
don't know how to learn a lesson, these Roy boys and gals.
All right. That's obviously, I mean, cringiest on topic. I mean, the cringiest, I feel like we did kind of rolls into almost favorite, rolls into favorite quotes, like all of it together. I mean, that's just the beauty of the show. It's just the like every moment has the potential to be either like just like watching a car crash in slow motion, like watching or I'm about to crack up. Like it just gets crazy.
Yeah, I can kick off our like a quick favorite moment. So both of these happen in finales, the boat scene with the siblings. And then that's in season one at Shiv's, the night before Shiv's wedding. And then in the season three finale, when Kendall finally breaks down and tells them about the kid. And I only say that because they're like maybe the only two moments where they're actually nice to each other. On the boat in season two, they have that moment where Kendall's like, can we just like be human beings and like talk to each other? And they're all like, oh,
that was Roman serious? Who said that.
Oh, Roman. Oh, yeah, because he was fucked up from that whole like being taken prisoner. But either way, very few and far between moments where they're actually acting like siblings. And, you know, I love that shit. So those are my favorites. Wish there were more, but it wouldn't be the show if there were. So
very fair. I would agree with that. I'm very pro sibling moments. it's just like, it's a good reminder of like, I feel like for me when I watch them, it just like takes me back to like thinking about them as kids and what that was like for them being kids together. I think that would, I don't like want like a spinoff show or anything. I just think that's like, would be some interesting things to actually see. But I mean, it's just Greg and Tom. There's just something about the two, and they have a lot of bad moments that I don't like. But like when Greg is like trying to explain to Tom in season two that he has principles, and Tom is like, you don't fucking have principles. Like, shut the fuck up, Greg. Like, just things like that is just so funny. But a singular moment I will pick out is definitely Greg telling Kendall at the wedding before Kendall goes off and does his terrible deed that he has the documents and that it would be wise to keep him around. And Kendall's like, Greg, the motherfucking egg. He's like, I love it, you little Machiavellian fuck. And then he just walks away. That I think is probably, that has to be, I think, my favorite moment.
I love that. It's kind of like when Kendall turns on Logan in the season two finale at the press conference and you see like a glimmer of pride.
Yes.
In Logan's eyes, this family like is like trying to win, but they like always like give props where they're due and being the biggest asshole or like covering your own back. Like it's, yeah, it's kind of funny to watch. It's like, they're like, oh, so you do know a fucking thing or two, Greg, good for you. Like I underestimated you. Like they like to be surprised. Cause I mean,
yeah,
as Logan said to Matt, and he's like, everything's so fucking boring, isn't it? So I think when someone does what you didn't tell them to do or expect them to do, those are fun moments too of the show for sure. I also have the Kendall breakdown confession. Cause I mean, obviously, there's been a lot out there about Jeremy Strong's method acting and how the cast feels various ways about it. But I mean, he pulls it out in that scene and just that season, the unraveling of this man. Like he goes from being like, I'll just be dad's robot pet and squash it to like, oh, fuck, I can't like get over this horrible thing I've done, and culminates in that scene and is a nice sibling moment, but also just like amazing acting, I think, from him. And then I just have, the rest are like silly moments, but I like Greg versus Greenpeace. It's just, again, going back to this man of principles. It's like, yeah, okay, buddy, like
we're at
war with, and he's like telling everyone about it. Like that's a normal, my inheritance. Like I don't really fuck with Greenpeace. I don't think they're such a good organization. Like it's like really funny and just also like, it's just kind of left field for them. But yeah.
Tom's reaction to that is great too. And he's like, I don't know the exact quote, basically like, oh, like, did you have fun riding on the shoulders of the neo-fascists or whatever? And Greg was like, just kind of sputters at it. I thought it was so funny.
He's like, going after Greenpeace, Greg. Okay. Yeah, all right. Sure.
But another great Greg and Tom thing for me is them bonding over potential prison time. And then like that guy is giving them advice about like the toilet, and he's like, the toilet, like it's your lover, it's your toilet, it's, you know, it's your like your wine cellar, like it's everything. And then he's talking about like tinned mackerel and stuff, and they're like trying to actually take notes. I love that Tom has like a fucking binder full of like federal prisons, and he's like making a pros and cons list throughout the season. It's just so fucking funny.
I mean, listen, his trajectory of kind of getting Logan to trust him by throwing himself on the sword, not having to do it, and then like dropping this little piece of information and changing the game at the end of season three, yeah, is fucking incredible. Also, what is his name? Matthew McFadden? Something McFadden, right? He's what, a Brit in real life or
yes,
an Aussie?
Shocking.
His Tom voice is so iconic. The way he speaks is so fucking funny. And obviously it's something that he created because that's not his real voice, right? So he was on Last Kingdom in the first 5 minutes or something like that.
Oh my God. Wow. Yeah. You just blew my mind. He is Uhtred.
Yeah. He is. Daddy.
Whoa. Oh my God.
I've only seen 5 minutes of The Last Kingdom.
That is crazy. Literally.
Yeah. So I know that for sure. I don't know how long he lasts, but I knew he was in it. But anyway, I just wanted to shout him out because he created this kind of iconic character and he deserves props for that because it's not his voice and it's a choice he's making, obviously. So it's a 10 out of 10 for me.
I mean, for me with him, I was season one, I was like, dude, fuck this guy. Like, he's obviously just like an opportunistic, like using everyone. And then later on at season three, I was like, all right, I really, really fuck with Tom. He had a great three seasons of a journey.
The thing about it, I think me and Al talked about this a little bit. I wish they showed a little bit more of their like business savvy, like Tom. I wish they were like, yeah, Tom was rising the ranks and that's when he met Shiv or something like that. Because How did they meet? And is he actually good at business? I don't know that. Greg's definitely not. Greg was just puking in costumes before he showed up here. But like, first of all, also that's a nightmare of mine. Like, could you imagine puking in a costume that you're in? Either way, death. Yeah, I wish they showed it a little more, because when in season one, when Logan basically says to Shiv, when they're off at the therapy thing, he's like, she's like, you're settling. He's like a POS, basically, like, whatever. He's not good enough for you. I felt bad, but I'm like, all throughout the seasons, Tom keeps saying, well, what about me, to Shiv, when they're behind closed doors with Logan? Would you negotiate for me? And it's like, negotiate it for yourself, brother. What are you talking about? I kind of don't understand that. But unless he actually is good enough to be a CEO of a company, they don't tell us that. He's just like marrying into getting a better job. I don't know. I'm a big Tom girl. I just wish they showed us a little bit more of whether or not he's actually good at business or not.
Well, I think that's kind of the point, though, with this show, right? Nepotism. Like, are any of them fucking good? Like, yeah, Shiv is smart, but Logan goes through with Rhea and whoever, and he's like, here's the pros and cons of each kid and why they could or couldn't do it. But at the end of the day, Roman just came out of fucking nowhere. He had a cushy job in like the media sector, like the entertainment sector, from Logan. Tom, I think, got in from Shiv. I think the whole point is, like, you don't actually have to fucking know what you're doing. If you, it's who you know. And when you're part of this family, you can do whatever you want and be untouchable, pretty much, in a sense.
I couldn't fully tell whether Tom's parents were, like, well off. Like, if Tom came from money at all. Like, they just make fun of him because he's from the Midwest. That doesn't necessarily mean you're poor. I mean, everyone pretty much is poor to the Roys, but... Because at some level, he has to be in a venue to interact with Shiv.
Yeah.
You know, like, so, like, getting access to Shiv Roy in some way, you have to have either some level of authority, importance in some realm or industry, or have just, like, a butt ton of money. I kind of like, I guess, that it's mysterious. And I guess it kind of contrasts a little bit with Greg. I mean, he kind of immediately latches onto Greg, and I feel like he can smell, like, a similar type of person as him, of, like, that Greg, I mean, Greg does it through family, but, like, finds himself now in this room with all these people, and you got to fight for yours, and, you know what I mean? You got to scrap in the mud to try to stay relevant within the family. And I guess Tom maybe sees a little bit of himself in Greg. That's what I like to think.
Those two, man. I fucking can't. It's like when we were ranking characters, I wish I could just put them together because they're interactions with each other, but no. Let's rock into that. Kyle, you start. I'm going to go last. I'm going to have Kyle start on his top three, and then then Alex and me.
Okay, I am going to start. Number one is Kendall, which it's like I have a love-hate relationship with Kendall. I feel like because I have such a visceral reaction to his cringy moments, I feel like it means something that, like, I actually have, like, a little bit of a soft spot for him. He is a bad person, undeniably. And Kathleen, we've talked about this via text of it. When he's with the family, he seems like the most normal person. He seems like a, like, not terrible guy. Like, when he's talking about what he wants to do for the company and move it forward, and, like, what, just in general, of, he kind of becomes apathetic to the whole scheming and doing all the bullshit from time to time. Like, he seems like he has somewhat of an off switch of, like, being a crazy sociopathic, like, career advancer, while the others don't really seem to have that. And at the same time, I also think it's partly Jeremy Strong. He is just such a fucking fantastic actor that you feel the emotional roller coaster with Kendall. And I feel like a big part of this story is just Kendall and his roller coaster of a life and journey through kind of trying to navigate being, quote unquote, the firstborn son, not the actual firstborn son, but in all intents and purposes.
So brutal. It's such a brutal running joke.
So I would say he's probably my favorite. And then number two's got to be Tom, the GOAT, the legend.
Yeah. I would have bet money that Tom was your number one. I would have lost.
It's so close, but I just feel like Kendall does more for me, like, emotionally, episode to episode. And then three is tough. Maybe before the wedding in season three, I would have said Greg, but I didn't like Greg's actions in the wedding. Greg's getting a little bit too big for his knickers, thinking he can just, like, play all these girls and all this kind of, doesn't feel very Greg. I love that line from Tom when he's like, oh, like, the man dying of thirst suddenly has a take on mineral water or whatever. I thought that was a great kind of summation of how I was feeling about it. So three, I'm going to say Shiv. I just, Shiv is on there because I love to hate her in moments, but she also, again, is someone that is reflected well when she's kind of with the family, when she's alone. And like Alex, like you said, with Tom, she's terrible. And it's like, oh my God, I hate this chick. And then when she's with the family, and especially with like the picking the president scene, it's like, okay, she also has some maybe redeeming qualities. She has somewhat of a vision to not be a completely terrible person. Like, she's willing to do terrible things to get this role to then hopefully not be as terrible of a person. So I'll take Shiva at number three.
Good. All right. Well, mine is so rogue, so I'm going to switch it a little. Because I have my five, and then I didn't really shave it down. But number one is Jerry.
That's such a good one.
I'm a Jerry stan. I mean, that woman made it in this company how fucking long, and hasn't really pissed off Logan. Really wasn't on his radar in a negative way until his dumb son sent his own dick to him instead of her. And even then, I just, everything she did in that scenario with Roman was so funny to me, and obviously not sexual to her, and was like, let me just bank this and have this in my pocket, like, let me control this little freak. And it was probably sort of cathartic to, after like being Logan's bitch like everyone else for years, to be able to just like absolutely shit on, demoralize a Roy man. Like, it was probably very fun for her. But she knows where the bodies are buried, as they keep saying, and she's somehow untouchable, right? Like, she has all the secrets. She just has so much value, and she's a bad bitch, I think, is my stance. And I hope she doesn't get played out in the end. But
that's a fantastic choice.
Two is going to be so, I think, controversial, but I have Logan. I just think, like, he's the epicenter, right? It's just, I've never seen a character like that. I think what Brian Cox does with the characters incredible. Like, I just think as a character, it's not favorite, like, I love them, I'm rooting for them. I approach it as like enjoyable to watch, or just like a really, just, I don't know, really good watch. And he's consistent, right, in his fuckery. He's not wavering, and
yes,
I want to know more. Like, he is the reason why we're all here. He's the reason for it all. And I want to know that backstory, the trauma backstory, which we'll talk about more. But that's Logan's at number two. And then three, I'm going to put Shiv again, because we are Shiv apologists in this household. And her moral compass sometimes points north, which is like a lot more than you could say for everyone else in this family, you know. So that's my top three.
That's a great top three. I'm glad you brought in some of the characters we didn't, because mine is similar to Kyle's. So number one, the number one Shiv apologist in the house, Shiv Roy. I just root for her. I don't know if it's because she's been underestimated in her life, because she's just the girl. Like, she was never even thought of that way, I don't think. And she didn't even go into the family business probably because of that, because she's like, fuck that, I'm going to pave my own way, which I like about her. And she was successful in that realm. I do like that she's like the most liberal of all of them, obviously. Like, they're all terrible. At least Shiv is fighting for something better. And I think she's funny. Like, she's just really funny. But as I was thinking of this, I do have a cringe moment from Shiv when they're at the Pierce dinner with the family, and she tells the table that it's her. Yeah. That might be my number one. I was like, no. And it's also out of character for her. She was really, must have been really like worked the fuck up about it, because obviously Logan dangled it and then ripped it away and was being like radio silence.
She
that
knew
was
too.
Cringe.
She knew in the moment when she was like, when they all leave the table and it's just her and Logan, and he's like, well, let's get out there. And then she was just like, oh my God.
Anytime someone tries to fucking pull one over on Logan or put him in his place, he's going to hit back five times as hard, and you're going to regret living. Like, I think she regretted being born in that moment, honestly. And so, yeah, you're right. That is probably up there in the biggest like fuck ups of them, to be honest.
Yeah. Flop moment of 2021, whenever it aired.
Yeah. Jesus.
So my number two is Tom. Needs no introduction. Reputation precedes himself. You know, it's good stuff. He's just too funny. He's such a fucking goof. Dude, and
when they read his fucking emails in the like congressional hearing, and it's like they're all titled, you got to break a few Gregs to make a Tom. And at first he's like, no, I don't even know what that would mean. Like, what would that even mean?
Yeah, I mean, that was cringy too. They didn't help him at all. He got destroyed in that. But yeah, my third was floating. Like, I was like, could I say Greg? And I was like, no. Because for almost all of season one, I was like, I hate Greg. I'm like, he is such a noodle. He does not... He's just walking up being like, hey, yeah, I have a job here. Oh, I don't know what it is. Can you just call somebody?
Yeah. Yeah, it somehow worked out for... I mean, also, I guess that just goes to show, like, the whole nepotism angle of, like, he literally just knew someone. He has no skills. Like, he literally was just telling people that he had a job, and then he just fell that into one. A job. And then Tom gets him some insane paycheck eventually, which is just ridiculous to think about.
How about Greg having to buy the $40,000 watch because he thought Kendall was going to buy it for
him? So bad.
Brutal. And also, it doesn't even work.
Another cringe moment is them doing good tweet, bad tweet in the limo.
Ugh.
I was just like, Kendall, dude, what the fuck, man?
I feel like we don't have enough time in the world, but I would love to do like a plus one hour where we talk about like Willa, we talk about Kendall's like Rava and like all the... Rava's her name, right? And you just make that up. Like, if we had enough time, we could, but I don't think we do. Anyway, so then I was like, I almost put Kendall. Like, I was 2 seconds away from putting Kendall, and then I stuck Roman in number three. It's his only appearance, and I just think he's fun to watch, and he is so terribly terrible. Like, if you're allowed to have Logan in your top three, I could put Roman in. Okay, it doesn't mean I love him. I listen to Kieran Culkin on Mark Maron's podcast. I just like him. Like, I was like, sought that out because I wanted to know what he was like in real life. Obviously, you have to have some sort of like, you know, I want to know if he talked like that in real life. Like, if he was a complete, you know, different from his character, whatever it was. But I just really like him. I like watching him. He makes me laugh the most for sure. Just with his like one-liners are so insanely out of pocket that, you know, he's unhinged. And I like it. I like that about him. So he needs help, but it's okay.
Yeah, he came to mind when, Kyle, you were talking about everyone, the dialogue is really realistic and feels like real people. He's up there with like stammering and just kind of like doing like filler words. And he also has like crazy physical mannerisms too, of like discomfort and just like, you know what I mean? Like tics. And I think he does a good job. It doesn't feel like this polished like HBO script. Like, it feels like you're watching these freaks chat in the boardroom and accidentally send dick pics, you know, live in real time. They're going to watch what happens live.
There's definitely moments for real. I mean, especially when Shiv like does that letter about Kendall. And Roman is like, I'm not signing that. And that was like actually like a head turner for me, because I'm still fairly anti-Roman, but that was like, whoa, like actually him being somewhat of a real person and showing some level of like loyalty, I guess, a little bit to his brother. And I just like when she's like, why? And he goes like, because fuck you, that's why. Like, what are you gonna take me to reason court? Like,
he's like, it's like the sharp version of when you're eight, like, oh, why don't you marry it? Like, he says shit like that. Yeah. Somehow it works for him.
When Shiv fucking like runs him out of the room when they're taking like the little like Kendall's business meeting with the siblings
in Rava's house.
Yeah, which was crazy. Kendall keeps going, yeah, like 4 hours. But and then he comes back and they're like, oh, like, we're sorry. He goes, what are you talking about? Like, no, I just had to go to the bathroom. Like, it's nothing. I was like, dude, shut up. Like, we all know that you didn't have to go to the bathroom.
I have one thing that we just found out by like reading into some succession thing. So in the finale, when Tom asked Greg to kind of join him in the season 3 finale, like join him and whatever. And he says, you can be the Sporus to my Nero. And we looked into it and it says, Sporus was a young slave boy whom the Roman emperor Nero favored, had castrated and married. So basically that reminded me of the quote of right when they met and Greg's like, would you kiss me if I asked you to? Like, literally one of their first interactions. He's just such a freak. Oh, man.
Just with Greg, though, Greg, when I like was thinking about adding him in to my top, it's tough because Greg himself is not fun. But Greg makes other people so much funnier. I guess in the terms they would use, he's a force multiplier. It's just like he like makes Tom funnier. He makes Kendall funnier. Even I guess the one individual Greg scene, like when he's like freaking about the lawyer and then he asks his friend, he's like, what do you think? And she's like, I just finished my first semester of law school. Like, I have no idea. She's like, should I text my professor? He's like, yeah, text your professor. It's like, Greg is a fucking idiot. So
absolute
badly.
Ding dong.
but he just makes other characters better, which is I didn't want to add him in because I feel like that's not fully top three character worthy.
It's your honorable mention,
yeah,
I would say. And mine is Tabitha, Roman's girlfriend for a bit, just because she like can kind of hold her own with these freaks.
Oh yeah,
and deals with Roman, and she's the catalyst for Swallowgate at the bachelor party.
Oh,
so she's
God.
Just hanging around constantly, reminding Tom of probably his what he would probably think is his most own cringy moment. But you know, we have a long list for him. But
that
I
is
like her.
Just
I liked
amazing.
Her.
Yeah, she's good. She like punches almost like her weight in all of those interactions, which I mean, I guess goes to show that she was kind of quote unquote right for Roman because he needs somebody, I guess, to be able to throw back at him. And I mean, I guess she doesn't do it at the level of Jerry. She doesn't degrade him, but I mean, in just like dialogue conversation, she can totally handle him.
Well, I just like that she calls him out. She's like, we don't fuck. We never have. Like the one time we almost got close, but no. And that was shocking to me because mere scenes before, Roman's like, I'm drowning in pussy. Literally. He's just obviously not. Like he does not fuck. That is his tagline. Like, I do not fuck.
If drowning is him like swatting everything away, being sure. Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah, he's just a little freak, like Alex kept saying, describing everyone, but Roman is definitely like a little freak.
Should we jump into 4 and what we want to know in season 4? It's the final season. We're coming in at the perfect time. Kyle especially, like he just finished binging and then the 4 and then done. That's the best way to do it. I'm also just so excited to have another Sunday night show to watch. Yellow Jackets too, so it'll be fight battling at the same time Sunday nights. But after House of the Dragon, into White Lotus, into The Last of Us, into this, is just Sunday nights. Bring Sunday nights back, you know what I mean? Make them great again.
I had never heard of an HBO ho as a term, but I would say I'm definitely an HBO ho.
Yeah, Alex is the president, so
okay, that's fine. I'm chairman.
So for me, season 4, I want to know the Logan backstory. Like, we've seen the marks on his back. I would like more of that. And then I'd also like more on the Roman sexual stuff. Like, these are not things that would matter, really. I mean, Logan stuff would. The Roman sexual stuff, like, I would just like to get to the bottom of why. It might just be because he's literally grew up, you know, like he did. That might be period, end of sentence, whatever. But those are the two things I had written down. I know Alex had thought it through a lot more than me, so.
Well, it's definitely that trauma cycle origin story, like Logan, some uncle he alludes to being horrific. The way Carolyn talks about him, like never met like an animal he didn't want to kick just to see if it came back when she talked to Shiv in that horrific mother-daughter combo.
Oh, gosh.
But it makes me think, like, was he physically abusive? I mean, we saw him hit Roman and it sounded like that's happened before. So like, what's the extent of all that? How like neglected were these children emotionally? I think it's pretty obvious, but there's clearly certain like moments or stories in this like family lore. His sister Rose that he like won't let anyone speak of. Connor's mom that like again, there's like an allude to like a curse, almost like the Kennedy curse. So like, I would love for that to be resolved versus just alluded to, because I think there's like that would be helpful to understanding all these people a lot more.
Yeah, I think an extension of that is Ewan. I'm curious. I like him as a character a lot. I mean, I love again that he's just this complex. He seems in the beginning when we meet him that he's just like kind of quote unquote like the good version of Logan. Like he supports, I guess, good causes, you could say. He stands up to Logan. He's the only one that we've seen at that point do it. And then he still has this like loyalty aspect to him where like he won't vote against Logan in the board meeting, which seems crazy because it's like Logan is a terrible person. He's like Logan's least favorite person, but then he still says like he's my brother, like I can't do that. And it feels hypocritical, but maybe it's not so. And I'm just really interested in an extension of Logan's backstory, like their relationship as kids. Like obviously something went wrong. I feel like they could have been like maybe trauma bonded as kids together, and then obviously they went kind of their separate ways of how they dealt with that in adulthood. So I would really like to know more about that. I think predicting season 4, quote unquote predicting, is it's so tough because like what kind of show is this? Like, are they going to try to teach us a lesson about something, or is it really just showing us like the terrible side of people? Like, it doesn't feel like a happy ending type of thing. Like, Logan keeps winning. No one really seems to learn lessons about anything. Like, I'm just very curious, because I mean, if they sell the company and Logan just has his, you know, treasure that he just sits on top of and just has it, like, where's like a type of lesson? I don't think they're maybe even going to teach us a lesson. Like, I was reading online, and we mentioned it at the end of season two when Logan has that smile and smirk, and people were like, oh, Logan's in on it, like it's all part of the plan. But like, in reality, like, it's not, like, there's no like nefarious like twists, plots that goes on in the show. It's just people being terrible people trying to like achieve some level of like success in the world if they don't fucking have it already, because they're all worth billions of dollars. So season four is just like a complete, for me, I have no fucking idea what's going to happen. Because sell the company, how are they just going to sell the company? Like, I can't imagine them just selling the company and then having money, and then like it's what they do with that money. I feel like I'm less interested in that.
It's an amazing lens to look through. I didn't even think of that as I was thinking through what could happen in season four. Is like, what is the goal here? Like, what do they want to do with the show? What's the like the end of the show? What's the moral of the story? No morals. Yeah. I think that is it. And I have no idea. I think this is a good segue into saying, like, who are we buying stock? Whose stock are we buying going into season four? If we had to pick one person to, you know, hitch our wagon to, who we doing that with? It's hard. I don't want to steal anybody's. So I'm going to let Alex. Yeah.
You have always just chickened out of going first.
I could go first, because I would rather you, because I feel like me and you have the same one.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, the one that when we initially were texting, setting this up, we, you know, made nice little jokes about obviously putting all of our funds into Tom with a little side investment into Gray, because that seems somewhat prudent because of the season three finale. But I think I'm going to throw a curveball, and I'm going to say Connor.
Whoa. Connor for president 2024. Right. It's written in the stars.
But I think that something is going to, like, I am predicting, I guess, some watershed moment where, like, Connor's contribution to, like, being a father to them that Logan never was when they were younger is going to, like, come out. Like, I feel like we need to have some, like, actual sibling conversation with them. And we were close to it at Kendall's quote unquote intervention when Connor kind of blew up about the whole like firstborn son thing. And I'm just thinking, we got to get back to that. And I think something about that is going to happen. So I'm going to sneakily slide some investment into Connor.
Okay. Wow. I love that. I mean, Tom, Greg, like we said, but and I'll always have a little Shiv stock, you know, just as like a pet project that's just forever. And I don't mean like for who's going to be the successor or whatever, it's just who's going to like thrive and not get their life ruined, I guess is how I viewed it.
Yeah.
And watching the trailer, I got to say, Roman, like his dad always keeps coming back to him because he knows he can get him maybe to flip, right? Like he's the most wobbly one from the sibling side, I think. Yeah. Like I think Shiv and Kendall's like written off, right? And Shiv probably feels too burned by her husband and her dad colluding against her. But like Roman, I think stock in that, like he'll go work something out for himself. Like he'll put himself above everything else. And just from the trailer, I was like, damn, man, he's in demand, even though he's a piece of shit. Why is that? Like his dad just knows that he knows how to speak to these other assholes like Mattson, et cetera. But
And speaking, I guess, going off of that onto like the whole idea of like what is like a lesson of this show, like what's the goal? The show, again, like we're saying, it's very realistic. Like I feel like a normal TV show would like use the season three finale as a moment where like the siblings would like bond up together and like unite and like form this front continuing against their dad. But in this show, I'm totally expecting those three of them to just devolve into individual factions again. And like that was their one moment and they missed it. And now they're all going to be again at each other's throats, backstabbing and all that kind of stuff. Cause I just get it. It's not like fairy tale, like classic story structure where like there's some like, you know, they're going to band up against the villain that is Logan.
Yeah. I actually read an interesting interview with the creator, Jesse Armstrong, about like what it feels like to wrap this up and stuff. And I think even he was like, we went into it like, well, okay, what are we trying to say here? And like, yeah. I know people want the answer to the original question. It's in the title, but like, I don't, is it even about that anymore? You know what I mean? I don't think it's your classic, like there's a moral of a story here or whatever. I think it's like, I mean, going back to the production style, it's a documentary. It's just like looking at how this unfolds. And I think they mean it to feel authentically like, this is life, and sometimes it's not a clean ending, or it's just fucking shitty, or you don't get answers. And like, yeah. I prepared for it to be that vibe, you know, to some degree.
Going back to you picking Roman, because I was close. So in the season finale, obviously, we've seen Roman a million times throughout the series, pussy out, right? At the number one is at the board meeting that he was gung-ho. He promised Kendall. And then when Logan's like, you better be sniffing your armpits, son, like, or whatever, like when he starts raising his hand and then he just slowly puts it down. I also want to shout out Kieran Culkin as well as Jeremy Strong. They're all incredible acting, but Kieran Culkin, like, cowering and also in the car on the way to go to Logan in the finale of season three, when he was like, internally battling whether or not he's actually going to go with his siblings or not. And then when they get there and he's just like, why, dad? Like, why did you do this? Like, what, why? And Logan's like, go fuck yourself. I don't care anymore, Romulus. Like, I truly, like, I thought, you know, you were the one I had, but never mind, go. Like, just making him feel bad. But it was the first time that Roman stayed at least true to what he said he was going to do. He didn't immediately like back out, which was nice. So I wanted to put my stock in Roman, but I really just can't. Like, I cannot put stock in Roman. So I'm going Kendall. I think he has so many failed attempts. I think this is the one where he comes out better than he has in previous seasons. I don't think he's going to kill anybody in this season. He's not going to jail. Himself,
geez. Accidentally, of course. But
so, yeah, I think besides Tom, obviously, Tom is the one I want to put stock in. But Kendall, I'm going to give it as my like hopeful long shot, because I do really like Kendall sometimes. Like, I hate him, but I like him, you know. And again, I, me and you have the pet project Shiv like together. We both put in money for that one, of course.
You're so
someday, you know, it's our family. It's our family's little family's up.
Leans behind stock in like the entire main ensemble.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it.
I was going to do.
If you play every side, you come out on top.
Really quickly on three. If you had to actually be one of these characters, like one of the four Roys, you had to take on their lives, who would you choose? But don't say anything. We're going to do
it. One of the three Roys, right? To not Connor.
No, four. You could be Connor.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Ready? Tell me when you're ready. You good? Mm-hmm. You good? Okay. One, two, three.
Connor.
He's just like living the life. Comparatively, he clearly has some issues, but like, yeah, no, he just gets to sit in a ranch and be rich. Like, what? And then decide to be president. Like, that is, like, to me, the funniest, like, portrait of, like, rich, cishet white man. Like, zero resume, negative resume. Yeah. And he's like, I got this, dad. Let's do this.
Like, the fact that they're, like, thinking it's a joke, and then when they're actually in the room talking about picking president, and they somehow have a somewhat serious conversation about like how, like, he's like, Shiv, how would it look like if Connor became president? And I was like, they are not about to do this. Like, there's no way that they can make that happen. The fact that it's an option, though, they could do it if they really wanted to.
It's too realistic these days. Like, these days, anyone could just be like, yeah, me. I got it. I got this.
Crazy.
But I cannot stress this enough, how I would take the money and run. Like,
yeah.
You texted me, Kyle, and you were like, to not like just take the $2 bill and run.
Kendall.
Like,
crazy.
I mean, to be fair, Logan wasn't offering that anymore. When he got it at the party, that's what he was offering. But I can't be asked to fucking run a company. Like, no, absolutely not. But that's also the way that these kids earn their dad's love is through things like this. So if they want any of that, if they want the respect, whatever, that's how they were grown up. To me, if you were to give me $50 million, I'd say, okay, I quit my job. Oh my God, done. done. Yeah, I'll do passion things, whatever. I don't care. No job, though.
But he's like, I need to do something. Like, give me, like, an asset or whatever. And I was like, why are you pushing your luck so much? Like, you have $2 billion. You can do something with that if you, like, you quote-unquote can't sit still. Like, just fucking take all that money and do something crazy with you. Yeah, that was like, come on. Because he was so close to getting out. Like, it felt like he was so close to finally letting himself escape from Logan's insane gravitational pull. And he just couldn't almost let himself do it, which was tough to watch.
It's also like, I don't think Logan can actually let them go. You know what I mean? I think there's been a lot of conversations about how he, like, and if somebody in the show said it, like, he resents his kids, right? Because they've had everything he never did. And he, like, resents them for, like, reaping, like, what he's sown, you know what I mean? And it's like, but that's the whole fucking point, is like, you created a better life for yourself and your family, but now you're, like, mad at them and you think that they're falling short of these expectations, but you didn't actually help them get there except for, like, pay people off and, like, maybe give them the best, like, you know, chance at being successful on paper.
The season one finale was so devastating for that, with Kendall was, like, fighting the quote-unquote good fight, and then obviously the accident happens and then Logan cleans it up, and
it's just this close every time. I know, Kendall,
so,
like,
I got
making it right.
and Logan, the reminders about it throughout season two and three are so tough. When it's, I don't remember what it is, it might be like the Pierce weekend, or maybe it's the Bachelor or whatever, when he's like, you know, like, go get him, killer, or something like that, and it's like, oh my god, like, why are you saying that to him? You know he's fragile.
When you make it, when you make him go to the house of the boy and sit and not be part of the conversation, like, he is a horrific human being. Like, he, and trauma
and his head,
to people,
not.
But he's just designed to, like, be evil, to even be honest. Like, he knows how to kind of manipulate people and keep them where he wants them. Like, that's his entire, I guess, business model, so to speak. Like, he said something in that conversation with Kendall, like, I know things about the world, like, that you'll never understand. And, like, do you think to get to this point, it's not dark or horrific? Like, I'm willing to do the things most other people aren't. But maybe that's true. Fuck if I know. I'm not a billionaire media conglomerate, but I kind of wish it wasn't that way. But it does paint a really interesting picture of, like, the 1% and twisted realities of, like, capitalism in our world.
And I mean, going back to our conversation about what's the show actually about and Logan's backstory, like, is that something they want to do? Do they want to humanize Logan in any way? I think it would be interesting. I think it would really make him, like, solidify him probably as, like, a top, like, 10-ish, that's a random number I'm throwing out, but, like, television character, just because of how interesting and complex it would make him. Because right now, it's all kind of bad. We got the one glimpse of, like, his back with the scars, and we know at some level he had a rough childhood, but it's still, like, everyone is anti-Logan. Like, fuck Logan, he's a terrible person. So it would be interesting if that's kind of the route they go of trying to humanize him in any way.
If not, he is villain.
Oh, yeah.
100%. I mean, he's still a villain. Even if they humanize him in the beginning, just because they humanize Dan Scott on One Tree Hill doesn't mean he's not an absolute villain. You know what I mean? Come on.
Fair, yeah.
Because they do humanize him by the end. They do an incredible job with that on One Tree Hill. We don't cover that on the pod, but that's okay. we could. Any interest?
I'm just really curious. Like, if they have some type of, like, family therapy, obviously season one was a joke. But do we get family therapy real? Like, I guess we get the drunken in the kitchen, but it's defensive Logan and yelling and screaming and insulting Shiv and everyone else. Like, do we get any level of emotional opening up from Logan? I don't think they would. I feel like part of his character is that he'll never change. I mean, he's fucking 80 something anyway. Like, he's.
I think if we get any explanation or the backstory, it's not him saying it. It's like the siblings. It's all these, like, in passing things, like, oh, Aunt Rose, or you know what I mean? Or, like, Uncle Ewan would come in and say something, like, or, like, that biography that's kind of fizzling in the background of, like, someone trying to write his life story. Maybe it comes out in other ways, but I don't really see him making a bid to, like, be like, this is why I am the way I am. No, he's like, here I am, take it or fuck off, you know?
Yeah, literally.
What if he dies at towards the end of the season, and they kind of find out this, like, hard backstory after he dies as, like, something that comes out, like, post funeral or something like that? Like, people come out of, you know, and, like, no one's gonna be able to, like, actually publish a biography with Logan alive. Like, he would, like, over his fucking dead body. There's just no way. So
that's been a main storyline of how long is he going to stay alive? I mean, that was the whole part of the Gojo thing when he's like, "Are we talking 5 years? Are we talking 10 years? Like, what are we what are we thinking here?"
That was crazy. Roman's like, "That's my dad, dude." Yeah. Like,
he's like, "No offense, your dad's a fucking piece of shit."
So when can he die? I'm not trying to work this out with someone else. Yeah. Fucking nuts. But even like, and I think it's crazy that like the show started with him having a massive health moment where like he maybe wasn't gonna be alive any longer, much longer, and it's just never been revisited. It's just kind of interesting. It's like, is that just a ticking time bomb for him? As like a, he clearly hasn't tuned up his health at all. Like, he's out here trying to procreate with like an assistant half his age. Like, I don't really know.
Crazy plot line.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
So what's going to come of that?
That's insane. I totally forgot that he was like, how did that get revealed?
Shiv?
He was making smoothies with maca root.
Oh, and Connor.
Connor's like, he's firing up the baby machine. And everyone's like, what? And he's like, I only use that if I'm really, and everyone's like, I hate this.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I like how Roman goes to Shiv and he's like, so we're obviously gonna, you know, get together to kill that kid, obviously.
These people are so dark. It's so crazy. But it's funny because for all like Logan's intentional things, he loses the plot kind of often, or like help, like the UTI that rendered him like mentally not there.
Yeah.
They thought there was a dead cat under the chair. Like, he's being manipulated by this like young assistant. Like, I just see there's a lot of things that he just can't see, which is really interesting.
I'm cracking up at the baby because, like, this baby is a baby. The baby can't inherit. It's kind of like House of the Dragon, right, with Aegon. It's like, is it Rhaenyra or is it Aegon? Because now Aegon's the actual trueborn son. But also, it's like, this is a baby. He's got to grow up to be at least 30 until he can inherit a company and run it, you know? So it's really not that big of a threat, maybe to their, how much money they're going to get if he cuts the three kids off, or four kids, sorry. And then... Okay, it's a money thing. It's not necessarily he's going to run the company.
I cannot decide whether this show is really just going to be about rich people being terrible people, which I'm fine to watch. I've enjoyed the hell out of that as the main kind of backdrop on a show. But part of me, I guess, is just because of how much TV we've watched, which is just like basic story structure stuff, feels like we have to get some like cathartic release at the end where like we're at people admitting to things and kind of maybe trying to put a better foot forward. Who fucking knows?
Yeah, or just Kendall getting out from it, right? Them getting out, right? Yeah, just free of, like, I guess maybe more like the cycle breaking, the trauma cycle breaking, than like redemption arc for really truly unredeemable people.
Yeah. At the end, like, of the day. Logan win again is the thing, I guess. It's kind of, I guess, an overarching question because he's consistently.
The trailer seems to indicate he's like, I got the election, I had a big sale, he said something else. And then it's like, he seems too confident. Like, that is never going to go well for him, I feel. Like, at this stage, after all these fucking bumps in the road, like, it just seems like it's alluding to, like, he thinks he's won, but anything can happen.
I didn't realize until we watched the trailer that Jared Mencken was actually who they're endorsing. I think they were like alluding to that, but he's in the trailer, so obviously he's going to be the one. He's the bad one. He's the Roman pick, which is I'd rather have Connor at that point. So that'll be scary, but I mean,
that was one of my favorite season 3 moments, is Shiv like putting her foot down and being like, no, like, this is not happening. Like, this is, he's a bad guy. Like, she doesn't want to get in the picture, like all that stuff. I was like, okay, like, this is not bad for Shiv right here.
Yeah. Speaking of his involvement, my wildest prediction, if anyone has all rogue predictions for the final season, I feel like there's a weird tension between him and Roman. And I'm just like waiting for it to all culminate in Roman.
Yes.
I don't want this to be like he's a sicko and so he's a gay man. Like, that would be a horrific message to send. But I think he is repressed sexually is like the overarching message. And there's some weird vibe there. And I think that would be a fun like twist of like, I mean, you see what's happening out there, all the hypocrisy in the world and people are closeted. So I think that would be like an interesting, again, how people in power get away with doing what they want and things you wouldn't expect.
And they are very good at bringing in like somewhat like current events at some level. And like discussing kind of overarching conversations that are happening in our world, like the fucking the Nazi Ravenhead conversation with Tom. First of all, hilarious scene when Tom's like trying to get like the actual answer out of them. He's like, H? Oh, no, H is what whatever the presidential candidate in Roman's like, H? But that stuff was just like interesting, and all of like the how Logan reacts to the quote unquote idea of like PC culture and like words you can't say and things like that. Like, I think they did a good job, and again, of making it feel like very real, like the mockumentary, like you've mentioned, like all that kind of stuff. Just like, it's just a fucking well done TV show.
It really is. I'm so excited. We haven't actually mentioned what our plan is. So moving forward, me, Al, and Kyle are going to do our plan is a mid-season. What did we call it? Shareholders meeting.
Yeah, emergency. And then
we'll talk about the previous five episodes, where we're at and where we think the final is going to go. And then we'll do a wrap up at the end. It'll be a fun little wrap up. We'll be sad it's over, but we'll know everything. So it'll be good stuff.
Do we know how many episodes it's going to be? Because 3 was 9, I think.
Okay.
Okay. Ooh, oh, 7.
7. This is devastating.
HBO, man. They're weird with season lengths.
They are. So after 3, we can decide whether we want to do it after 4 or after 3. We could say, like, let's give it one more and have the conversation, and then we'll... Yeah.
Temperature. Depending on the temperature.
Who knows? If these are, like, super hot, we may want to be, like, let's hop on real quick and talk about it for 45 minutes. Who's
I'm
to
in.
Say?
I'm definitely down for that. Yeah, if we just want to... click Fuck the emergency yeah. button. And you know what? That would be a great benefit for you subscribing and following us on social media, because you'll be able to know when these emergency shareholder meetings are happening.
I love that. You never know when you're going to need fucking emergency meeting, man.
You got to keep up to date for your stocks, for your stonks, you know, make sure you keep your finger on the pulse.
That's true. We do need to check in and have investor calls. We'll definitely obviously use our personal private group chat, but maybe we will use the podcast as a different forum. I guess firing from the hip, a random question we didn't talk about, but what is your ranking of the seasons?
Woo! I liked 2 the best. 2, 3, 1 maybe, I would say. They're all fun. I binged them so fast it all like mushed together, really. But I've seen 3 twice now, and I really like 3. So 2 was Jeremy Strong won for his performance and the Emmy for his performance in 2. I mean, that was just so fucking good. So I would say 2 is number 1, and then the rest can kind of.
Cox has won as well. I feel like I could be wrong, but I thought they were like almost not sweeping, but it was like a hot year for them after season 2. I think that ranking works for me. Maybe
yeah,
3, 2, 1, but
yeah. That's literally exactly mine was going to be 2, 3, 1.
Yeah.
One's just, it's tough. Well, season ones are just, that's a hard place to.
It's building blocks and exactly. Then it heats up. But then like that, like is the fuel for the fire of 2, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean, some of my favorite episodes are in season 1. It's just season 1 as a whole just can't quite be up to snuff.
I also think that it seems impossible to say the sentence, but they got a bigger budget for 2 and 3. Like the places they go, the things they do in 2 or 3 are just good for the eyes. You know, it's beautifully shot. These places they're at, it's so well done. So I think in season 1, they're in the hospital a lot. You know, they're in rooms like Logan's just like stuck in a room. So they're in a lot of rooms. This one, they can go even when they visit Nan and like, or not Nan, just the Pierces in general. There's all different kinds of outings in 2 and 3. So, I stick with that.
The freedom of travel they have in the show because of how rich they are is literally insane. It is so like unfathomable that they just decide we're going to Crete, like, oh, we're going to London, just like fire up the jet. They just go to like Serbia. It was like, what the fuck? God, like they're so stupid rich. It's like you can't even fathom it.
Yeah. She was confused at first when they like went into London or whatever, I don't know, during like from Tuscany to like the UK. She's like, I thought they were back in New York. I'm like, no, they just like went to London headquarters or something, like quick trip, and all the quick trips to Matson, which is like helicopter, speedboat, like, and those are the most beautiful scenes of anything I've ever seen. I was like, what the hell?
So
like,
good.
You know, and so
also when Kendall just flies out the play actress to Scotland and then flies her back like the next day, he's like, I'm over, and he doesn't even have the balls to fucking say it to her face. He gets like the guy to do it. He's like,
security,
preoccupied.
Just absolutely fucked Willa's play, took one of her like main actresses
for like a night.
I mean I hate to keep bringing shit up because we could do this forever, because there's 3 seasons of untapped stuff we haven't talked about.
So many quotes written down and stuff. It's so funny.
Tom's bachelor party, sad. Like, he thought they were taking him to the friends getting uninvited.
Yeah, that
How
was
concerned
fucked up.
Was I
with the fly guys?
The fly guys. And when And then Tom like welcomes the Fly Guys when it's Tom's wedding. Yes. And I was like, thank God they came. They're not mad.
Yeah.
At him. I was upset.
I was genuinely happy to see the Fly Guys and that there was like no bad blood between them.
That's a great callback. Like those little things. You're just like, yeah, they did go with that.
That was
one,
really
you
good.
Know? Oh my God. Yeah. That is, I mean, not to mention then Swallowgate. I mean, Tom, it was a flop for Tom. And it was Roman using it as a business meeting with Stewie yeah. and Sandy. I was like, you people are truly a different breed of evil. Like, it's so fucking sad.
Tom's reasoning, like trying to explain why it wasn't like weird as shit that he swallowed his own cum was like the funniest. I think that actually might be my favorite system. Moment. The closed loop system was the greatest thing I've ever heard. Like, I was shocked that I was. And I love that it's like slowly coming together as more and more people keep interrupting him thinking to say, hey, I heard you swallowed your own gum.
Like everyone just like, hey, this yeah, is yeah. the heat round.
So fucking funny. Oh
or like God. When Kendall was about to do so much coke, he would die. So Greg had to just like smack his face on the table and do it. And then Greg's like, oh my God, man. Like Greg doesn't need an upper. Greg does not need a fucking upper. And that's what we got. You know.
And then how about Tom does coke at fucking Kendall's birthday party and he's like yelling at all the people in like the affirmation tunnel. And Greg's like, it's okay. He's actually a great person. He's a wonderful person.
And like Shiv's rolling. Like they all did, like they didn't like yeah. show them going to do drugs, but it was apparent everyone took drugs that night and some yeah. everyone was having bad trips, bad
in the cab home. And Tom's like, hey, like, do you want to just like go out? You know, after this, like go out somewhere else. And Shiv's like, no, honey. He's like, okay, well, I'm going to be up late tonight. Oh, man. I really Tom is like not that good of a guy, I guess. But again, it's always in relation to everyone else on the screen. That he's actually not that bad of a guy. So I want him to have a happy ending.
Yeah, me too. It's not with Shiv. I'll tell you what. No, unless Shiv has like a huge, huge turn. There's just no way it's with Shiv, but I don't foresee us seeing him get a happy ending with a woman that's not Shiv. So like, it's either he breaks up with Shiv and gets his own kind of like, I'm a badass, I'm doing what I want type thing. Do you think at any point during the season, there's going to be a time jump at all? Like even at the end, the finale, or like even midway through, it could be, but I don't, this show's all about like what's happening right in this moment. Like they don't even have, we yeah. can't skip because there's too much happening right now. So I don't know.
Do you
know.
Think like a, like an at the end of the season, like where are they now type of time skip?
Maybe.
Or
maybe.
Yeah.
I don't think there's going to be one middle. So that's sometimes people do that, you know, but I don't think so. It either have to be in like the final episode or not at all.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm just fucking pumped. I'm gassed up.
Me too. 1 week until it airs.
Yeah. It's funny because I am usually very vocal about how I love the week-to-week format, and I'm going to love it. It's just going to be an interesting adjustment for me because I watched the whole show in fucking 2 weeks. So
you ripped through that.
Yeah, I literally was just, okay, what atrocity can I watch next on my television screen?
Yeah, I can't wait for it. I think we're just excited to see it and be around these characters again. I think that's a testament to what an amazing show that is. It's like, for me, I don't fucking care who's successor. I don't care if it's Madison, whatever. I just like, again, all those questions and things that made these people, why are you the way you are type thing and who hurt you are like the things that I'm into. And I just, it's fun watching them, but I respect that they were like, I don't want to drag that out any longer. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I was really encouraged when I heard Brian Cox say that, where he's like, we will not be one of those shows that just goes on for longer than it should.
Yeah, I read his interview today too, or excerpts about it, about how he felt nothing when his last scene playing him. I'm like, you might be a bit of Logan. Like, you brought yourself to this fucking character. It's a bit you, bit him. But yeah, I just, it was really, when I saw that, everyone was like, oh my God. And I'm like, no, this is what the show is supposed to do. They fucking are in control. It's a story to tell. That doesn't mean endless content that you just like churn out. Sorry, you know. Yeah. So I'll be sad, but we'll rewatch for the rest of time.
Yeah. Four is a great amount of seasons. I'm hoping I think actually Yellow Jackets is gonna be five.
Really? But
I was gonna say four or five would be perfect for Yellow Jackets. Probably four, but I think I read five. So like Yellow Jackets is another one of those where it's like, do not overplay your hand.
Five honestly seems long to me.
I know. Well, we do not have to get into Yellow Jackets.
Yeah. Fair. But we will. Really, we will, as we have more podcasting to do in this month of March.
We'll be dropping Yellow Jackets episodes Tuesdays or Wednesdays after each episode. I'm not sure which one we're going to pick, but Tuesdays, if we can get our act together, and Wednesdays will be our cushion day. But
and that's just like a hop random, on? Like a random whimsy of me watching both of those shows recently, just like catching up.
I know. You had to watch Yellow Jackets. It's like the boys are hype on Yellow Jackets right now. That's good stuff. You got to sneak on to some of that coverage.
I would love to. Yeah. I would absolutely love to. All right. So like we've said multiple times, I mean, we could just keep pulling quotes and moments and shit out of our ass talking about this show. So we will stop now on our, I guess, like I said, season four hype episode, maybe seasons 1-3 recap, season four hype, whatever you want to call it. Succession drops on, well, it's Sunday, March 26th, as I try to turn and look at my calendar while still speaking into the microphone. this will probably drop before that. Like we said, maybe we'll do some surprise episodes during the season. We definitely plan on one during the middle of it and then one at the end to wrap everything up. So be sure to subscribe on whatever you're listening or potentially watching on. You'll get the notification about those episodes dropping. We'll probably try to be active on Twitter, maybe just talking about episodes in general. Just kind of more like 50,000 feet kind of takes on each episode. And like we've said again multiple times throughout this episode, we're covering a lot of shit right now. Like we just wrapped up Last of Us, The Mandalorian's coming out right now, which we're covering. Yellow Jacket starts the same day as Succession, Shadow and Bone on Netflix. So if you are looking for television and you're looking for a fantastic, bubbly, friendly conversation about said television, then Bingetown TV is definitely the right place to be. We thank you for being here. We hope you stick around and keep coming back. And again, follow us on all our socials at Bingetown TV. BingetownTV.com is like a hub of all info for us. It's just like really aggregated all of our content well. We have 300s of episodes about a bunch of different television shows. So definitely check out our very long list of things that we've covered. I don't think you'll be disappointed, and you'll definitely find something that you like. So once again, we are Bingetown TV. And thank you for watching. And fuck off.
And fuck off. I literally was sitting here. I was like, I wish we could say, and fuck off. And right. Thanks for listening too, but fuck off first.
We love you. We love you.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.